Amen. Would you turn, please, to Genesis chapter 30. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 24 of this chapter tonight. Genesis chapter 30, verses 1 through 24. Which one of the two women do you have the most sympathy for? Rachel or Leah? Rachel appears to be the sister who maybe deserves more sympathy because she was the beautiful one, the loved one of the two, was engaged to be married, and her husband was stolen from her by her sister. And she has a barren womb. Well, but what about Leah? She is judged less desirable because of some physical feature, tender eyes, the scripture calls it, which means simply that she had poor eyesight. And she couldn't help that. She is thrust into a marriage that she knows she's not wanted. On the other hand, what part did Leah play in the marriage deception? Did she know she was party to a deception? Did Laban give her a choice? The relationship between Rachel and Leah is a case study in interpersonal human relationships. I've described it tonight as a wives' wrestling match. The word wrestling will be in the text tonight, and that's where I got the title. And there is tragedy that results from the conflict between these two sisters. What was going on through the minds of Rachel and Leah at the time of the first wedding? Genesis chapter 29, verse 23, it came to pass in the evening that he, Laban, the father, took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her, thinking it was Rachel, but there was deception. What was Rachel thinking? What was Leah thinking? Let's consider Rachel's potential thoughts. She is unseen at the first wedding. So where is she? And what was she thinking while her sister was taking her place at the wedding? What convinced her to cooperate, or did she have a choice? She has to know that Jacob thinks he is marrying her. Was she forcibly detained? What was Leah thinking? Did she know that she was part of a deception? It would seem likely, or did her father lie to her just like he lied to Jacob? What was she thinking during the ceremony? Leah stood dressed as a bride. Did she know that Jacob thought she was Rachel? Was she pretending to be Rachel? It's obvious that through the entire night, she never revealed who she really was because it was only in the morning that Jacob discovered that. According to Genesis chapter 29 and verse 25, it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. How did Leah feel in that moment when she realizes Jacob knows he's been deceived? Rachel envied her sister. Remember, Leah was given the privilege of having four children. Genesis chapter 30, verse 1. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, while her sister was bearing four children, Rachel envied her sister. Envy is a word that portrays strong emotion that results in aggressive activity. We see an example of envy and the aggressive activity that results from that envy in the example of Joseph and his brothers. Genesis chapter 37, Joseph's brothers envied him. Same word. What did they do? Genesis chapter 37, verse 24, they took him and cast him into a pit. If that wasn't bad enough, they faked Joseph's death after they sold him into slavery, and they broke their father's heart. Genesis chapter 37, verse 34, Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And in verse 35, it says he refused to be comforted. So Rachel goes to Jacob and demands that he give her children. Verse 1 continues after it says that Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. She becomes very dramatic about the situation. But Jacob responds in verse 2, Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, now imagine, this is the woman he loves, and she's making him angry. This is not going well. And he says, am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? Now, Jacob appears to understand that it is God who opens and closes the womb. So Jacob questions Rachel as to whether or not she thinks Jacob is supposed to do what God is doing. Am I in God's stead? Another thing we might observe about Rachel, or at least a question we might ask about Rachel, was this. Did she practice idolatry? In Genesis chapter 31 and verse 19... close enough, you can look over there. Genesis 31:19, and Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. Images? That's a term that refers to idols. What is she doing with idols? And before arriving at Bethel, a place that Jacob had respected as sacred, he had to admonish his whole household to get rid of their images, their strange gods. He says in Genesis 35, verse 2, Jacob, this is just before he's going to be, renewed with his brother there. And Jacob said unto his household, to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. He's aware that some in his party are worshiping idols. Was Rachel part of that? I mean, if she stole her father's images, you have to wonder. Which doesn't speak very well for Rachel. Rachel complicates matters. By giving her handmaid to Jacob as a third wife. Verse 3, Genesis chapter 30, verse 3. And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. Well, now he has three wives. Two is bad enough. Three? This is getting complicated. Now, Rachel gave God credit for giving her a child, but the child wasn't hers. The child was born to her handmaid, verse 5. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me and hath also heard my voice and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. Now, anybody can give God credit for anything. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it was God's blessing. Now, Dan does become one of the 12 tribes of Israel. I understand that. But could it have been that God would have provided 12 sons through one woman if things had been different? Has one woman ever had 12 children? Sure. Isn't there a family we know up in New York? What was it? The oldest one was a boy and all the rest were girls. 12 children, one boy. Started out with a boy and then had 11 girls. They had 12 children. That's possible. So we could give God credit for this, but could he have done it another way? Indeed, he could have. Rachel continues to be a contentious woman. By the way, did you notice way back in Genesis they wore glasses? We helped Leah out a little bit tonight with her poor eyesight. Verse 7, Genesis chapter 30, verse 7, Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. Look, she's in a contest. I've wrestled with my sister, and I'm the winner. And so she calls his name Naphtali. So is it God's blessing? Is she the winner? Is it a contest? Well, the word wrestling, as it's used here in the text, means striving in order to throw someone down. She's using it metaphorically. I'm sure they didn't have a drag-out, knock-down fight physically, but she does see it as some kind of competition, and she wants to win. I have prevailed. Leah, of course, feels the sense of competition. When Leah saw, verse 9, when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. Well, now Jacob has four wives. Why did he go along with this? No doubt, I think, because of the wrestlings that were taking place between Rachel and Leah. He has to know that these two women are not getting along with each other and there's a struggle. Rachel shows a covetous attitude. She uses her husband's affections as a bargaining chip to take things away from her sister. Verse 14. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto her, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. Mandrakes were a type of medicine back in the day. It was used for medicinal purposes. It was kind of a narcotic, but it had medicinal value. And Leah was willing to use them to hire her husband's affections. Leah's a reactionary. Verse 9, when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. So this is what Rachel had done. Rachel had given her handmaid, so now I'm going to give my handmaid. Leah's already born 4 sons, but when Rachel gives her handmaid to Jacob, then she does the same. Rachel acts, Leah reacts, and now Jacob has 4 wives. Leah considers herself to be the legitimate wife. Verse 15, she said unto her, "Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband?" And in fact, she was the first to marry him, so we might say that's true. She finds it necessary, however, to buy her husband's affection. In verse 16, "I have hired thee." Leah will seek and find happiness wherever she can find it. Her handmaid, Zilpah, gave Jacob a son. In verse 10, Leah said in response to that, "A troop cometh," and she called his name Gad. And then Zilpah had another son. In verse 13, Leah said, "Happy am I." Really? Do you think she was? She was trying to find happiness. She took solace in her handmaid being able to give Jacob 2 sons. I'm not sure that's real happiness. Well, the text tells us that God hearkened unto Leah, verse 17. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived, and now she is going to bear more children. So she prays to God and asks God, apparently, for these children. And she was able to give Jacob a 5th son of her own. Verse 18, Leah said, "God hath given me my hire." You might make a connection there. And she called his name Issachar. This 5th child may indeed be God's blessing because Leah prayed for it and God hearkened unto her. And Leah hopes that once she had given Jacob a total of 6 sons of her own, that Jacob's attitude would change towards her. Verse 19, Leah conceived again, bare Jacob the 6th son, and Leah said, "God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me because I have borne him 6 sons." Maybe he won't leave me isolated so much. Maybe he'll spend some time with me. And Leah also had a daughter. Verse 21, afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. She gave birth to 7 children. But it wasn't enough. Her life was empty, because her husband paid little attention to her. Now it tells us also that God hearkened to Rachel in verse 22. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, "God hath taken away my reproach." And she called his name Joseph and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." Now, God listened to Rachel, hearkened, listened to Rachel. So apparently she did pray to him. What we don't know is whether or not she believed only in him or prayed to him as one of the gods she believed in. I'm a little unsure about some of those things. Rachel gave birth to one son, and she took that as the promise of another son. Verse 24, the Lord shall add to me another son. She said, the Lord's not going to leave me with just one child. We're going to have more children. Now, one of the lessons that we should take away from these events is that God is the one who opens and closes the womb. Would you go to Psalm 127 and verse 3? Psalm 127 and verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. The Lord may prevent one woman from having any children at all, and that happens in life. Even though they may want to have children, the Lord may give another woman 20 children. Wasn't there a family that used to be on TV and she had 20 children? I think the record is 60-some. 64. 64 is it rings in my mind. A woman had 64. She didn't have any single births. They were all twins, triplets, and quadruplets. So they add up pretty fast that way. That's a lot of children. It's something to accept along with everything else about your physical makeup. Are you tall or short? Do you wish you were tall if you're short? Do you wish you were short if you were tall? Do you have black hair, brown hair, blonde hair, or red hair? Is your hair thick or thin? Is it curly or straight? Do you wish it was the other way? Do you have brown eyes or green eyes or blue eyes? Do you have large feet or small feet? Do you have poor eyesight like Leah, or are you beautiful and fair to look upon like Rachel? Well, sometimes that's a matter of opinion. Can you lift a rock off of the mouth of a well like Jacob did? Or are you too weak to do that? God knows from the womb exactly what your features are going to be. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. Psalm 139, verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins. The word reins in the Old Testament refers to your kidneys. Just as the heart was used metaphorically for part of the inner man. The word kidneys in Hebrew was used metaphorically as the seat of a person's emotions. God knew whether or not you were going to be an introvert or an extrovert, have strong emotions or not. He possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. In the womb, not just a glob. I am made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. But I am made. Distinct from everyone else. Unless you're identical twins. But even then, there are some differences. My sister was married to an identical twin. And one of them could really play the piano and organ, and the other one couldn't. And so he says in verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. He says, you saw everything that I was going to be before it was formed. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Before my eyes were formed in my mother's womb, God knew I was going to have blue eyes. He knew I would grow to be 5 feet, 10 inches tall. My father was 6'2". I always wanted to be as tall as my father. Never made it. Disappointed. Until I realized God made me the way I am. From the moment of my conception, God wrote in a book in heaven all of my physical features, including whether or not I would have poor eyesight or good eyesight, whether I would be beautiful or not beautiful, if I would be strong enough to lift a rock from the top of a well or not, if I could have children or not. God knew all of that from the moment I was conceived in the womb. Rachel's life ended tragically. She died in childbirth. Genesis chapter 35, verse 16. Genesis 35, verse 16, and they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died. Benoni, son of my sorrow. Benjamin, son of my right hand. For Rachel, it was a sorrowful thing. Her life ended in her tragic death during childbirth. But Jacob would dote on this son. Rachel and Leah both lived tragic lives because both defined their own happiness by their rival's sorrow. If I can outdo my sister, then I will be happy. Rachel said, with great wrestling, I have prevailed. Leah declared, happy am I. But in both cases, it was because they were able to get something their sister did not have. But God's divine principle is just the opposite. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Let no man seek his own wealth, but seek wealth for someone else. Seek victory for someone else. Wish that your sister would prevail instead of yourself. Seek happiness for someone else. Wish that your sister would be happy, even if it meant you could not be. How different the lives of these two women would have been if they had been for each other instead of for themselves. God says, live by this principle. I am not successful when I generate happiness for myself. I am successful when I generate happiness for others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. It is sad to see the tragedy of the lives of these two women. We wonder if either one of them ever really was happy. But we also see beyond their lives that you can take the outcome of tragedy and use it for your glory. And the 12 sons that Jacob had became your chosen people. We thank you for that. But Lord, help us so that we would provide something to bring glory to your name that would not have to come out of tragedy, but come out of obedience and faithfulness. And a concern for others rather than ourselves. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.